Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, chatting today with a colleague from the Netherlands. The voice you'll hear in a moment is Stephanie Mavison. She is a PhD candidate at Maastricht University in their education development and research group. But the work that we'll be talking about is research that she actually conducted as a medical student while she was training, I believe, in the same location. Stephanie, I didn't actually ask you that.
Yes, I'm trained at Maastricht University.
At Maastricht, excellent.
Yes.
The paper we'll be discussing is titled Multiple Role Mentoring, Mentors, Conceptualizations, Enactments, and Role Conflicts. It'll be in the June 2019 issue of Medical Education, and I'm going to give you a little preview right now. Thanks to you, Stephanie, for being willing to talk with me.
Thank you for the invitation.
I offered it in part because I plain like the work, but in part because there has been so much emphasis of late on various roles that educators are playing, coach, mentor, trying to expand the way that students are being supported and grapple with what it means to be in any given role. So this paper seems to speak very directly to that. Do you mind if we begin by me asking you to offer your definitions or conceptualizations of what it means to be a mentor versus some other things that might be confused with that term?
Mm-hmm. That's already an interesting question, I think, because we were struggling in the beginning with the definition of a mentor. And I think that's what I tried to outline in the article. Additionally, there was a definition of mentoring, but that is changing as the whole medical education system is changing. In our context, especially in Maastricht University, but I think it's a universal change that we're going to a more competency-based education, focusing on longitudinal development of students. Then I see the mentor as someone who can really support a student over time, so in a longitudinal way, really knows a student, knows weaknesses and strengths, and together with a student can really try to really empower a student and make the best out of it, I would say. So for me, that is a mentor, to really support a student in all his or her competencies and roles, whether that's only a coach or also an assessor. Maybe that's something that we can come back to later.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your context. In Maastricht, where you did this work, are the mentors assigned to students, or how does that connection get made?
Yes. That's also an interesting pathway in the literature. Like, do we have to let students choose their own mentor or not? But in Maastricht, mentors are assigned, so they don't have a choice in that decision.
And what we'll talk about is their experience in these roles, but do you mind saying a little bit more about what the program claims they should be doing or any information you can provide regarding the formal expectations?
Yes. So traditionally, mentoring was more seen as a supportive role in a non-judgmental relationship with the mentee. But in the new Maastricht master curriculum, so 3 years of clinical rotations, mentors are assigned to a mentee. And because in this setting, we have a programmatic assessment system, which is characterized by integrating both formative and summative assessments, we also make use of portfolio systems in this master curriculum. So every student has a portfolio where all feedback and grades and self-reflections are gathered. And they also have this mentor. And the mentor's role is not only to support students' development with the use of all the information that is gathered in this portfolio, but also a task is during the 3-year clinical rotationship to 3 times give advice about the student's progress and student performance. So in that way, the task is both to be a coach and support students, but also to be an assessor and judge their students' progress and ultimate performance. And I do have to say that in their task, it's actually stated as advice to an external assessment committee, and they make the formal decision. But in that role, mentors are often quite seen as the assessor.
And that makes it easy to see why there would be some intuitive concern about the potential for conflict to exist in terms
Yes.
of playing those two roles. So I don't know if you can answer this, but do you know anything about why the program decided to put both of those roles within a single individual as opposed to having an advisor who was mentoring separate from any sort of judgmental capacity?
To be honest, I was not involved in the design and implementation of this new programmatic assessment system. But when I just think about it in our system, and I've experienced it myself, the mentor is the one person that really sees you over the 3 years in your master and who really knows how you're doing and what your strengths and weaknesses are. So that person is the one who has the oversight. And in that sense, it's the most appropriate person to give an advice because he or she knows the mentee student best and give an advice towards this independent assessment committee who then formally make a decision.
Thank you very much. So that really does then position this work in my mind as trying to better understand how can we take advantage of that while minimizing the problems that can arise through role conflict. So why don't we jump to that component then? I'll just say very briefly that you interviewed a variety of mentors and the methodological details can be found in the paper, but can you maybe start by telling us a little bit about how your participants were thinking about the mentoring role or how they conceptualized it?
Yes, what we found was that there were different approaches to the mentoring role. We found a more empowering approach, and these mentors described working together with their students in partnership, really trying to develop shared understanding of where the student was going and what improvement points were. We found a more checking approach with mentors really working in an instrumental way with their students and a directing mentoring approach. And these mentors really worked in a more faculty-centered way. They really tried to tell the students what to do and how to behave. And that was actually, in fact, the other component that was a topic of our research. The extent to which a conflict of roles was experienced seemed to be related to mentors preferred mentoring approaches. So we found different approaches, and that seemed to be related to whether or not mentors experienced a role conflict.
And those who were more faculty-centered seemed more likely to fall into those traps. Did you get any sense as to whether it was a stable perspective of the individual mentor, how they thought mentoring should be done, or did it depend to some extent on the student themselves, or any number of things like the ease with which they're progressing through the program?
That was really interesting actually, because we really found predominant mentoring approaches per mentor. It didn't seem to relate to the individual students because we sampled mentors who both had low and high performing students, and they at least told us that they approach their students in a rather similar way. But that's, of course, it is something that we felt that was a bit contradicting to other literature and could maybe be due to the fact that our mentoring program is only running for, at the time of the research, it was running for 3 years. So maybe there's development that we could not have noticed in our interviews yet, but could be there in the future.
So it's likely an overstatement to say that one conceptualization or one way of mentoring is necessarily better, but it does sound as though, at least when conflicts emerge or have the potential to emerge, that there would be reason to try to encourage mentors away from a more directing approach. Did they say anything to you that would offer some insight into how we might encourage people towards interactions that minimize the problems that come from role conflict?
What was interesting for me was that, especially the mentors with a directing approach, they really had strong beliefs on what they thought was good for the students. And they really had their own beliefs in how to support students. And I think making them more aware about their beliefs and the beliefs on more instructional design and what the assessment system is meant for think we can make it easier for them because they were really struggling with their role. They really felt uncomfortable. They didn't know that their strong beliefs were actually different than, well, what the university and the educational system is actually meant to do and how you should maybe work with your students to prepare them to be lifelong learners, etc.
And you note in your paper the potential for contradiction or conflict between the key principles of the education program and the way in which
yeah.
some mentors went about their abilities, which you just alluded to. It in many ways speaks to a hidden curriculum, doesn't it? That the messages we're sending our students about how they should engage in this relationship likely depends very much on what they perceive their mentor to be focused upon. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts as to how the different approaches of the different mentors might impact on the way the students themselves engage, even though I know that we're now ranging beyond your particular data
yeah,
set for the study.
It was beyond the scope of my research, but I think it's interesting to look at the effects for students who are mentored by mentors with different approaches. And I can imagine that also because of the relationship is so much different that people who are mentored by a more faculty-centered mentor, they should put more effort in being self-directed, whereas the people that have empowering mentors are really supported more explicitly to be self-directed and to really focus on your self-reflections and be a lifelong learner. So I think because the relationship is different, students' effort in what they should do and where they want to go is probably different.
I appreciate that that particular question was beyond the scope of where you've been focused. Do you have any other advice for people who are developing a mentoring program or for those who might stand to benefit from taking your observations and use them to try to improve their own educational practices?
Yes, I think what we have shown is that incorporating elements of assessment in definitions of mentoring does not need to be problematic. And I think people should maybe move away from the traditional mentoring definition. And with the use of, well, this research and maybe in the future also from others, try to create the best circumstances for mentors and their mentees to together create the best possible support and ways to develop the mentees into lifelong learners. And I think multiple mentoring, again, does not need to be problematic and can offer actually beautiful ways to integrate assessment in learning trajects.
Thank you very much. It is seemingly a great example of how our intuitions or expectations can often lead us to be paralyzed in ways that they don't need to. So
yes.
It's great advice to help us check up on whether or not those assumptions are accurate. I'll just end by letting our listeners know that if you're interested in the paper, it's titled Multiple Role Mentoring, Mentors, Conceptualizations, Enactments, and Role Conflicts. First author is Stephanie Mavison, and you will find it in the June 2019 issue of Medical Education. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk. I realize it's a busy time in your life as you're working on your PhD, and I certainly hope that that goes very well.
Yes, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this research.